Blog Talk Radio.
All right, unmuted. All right, thank you, Elder. All right, we have Geraldine has a comment, 954 area code.
Hi, can you hear me, Elder?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear, Geraldine. How are you?
I'm great, Elder. Good evening, Elder Rakashiar, Elder Loya. I'm so happy. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Okay, well, thank you. You know, I concur. I'm with you. I'm happy to speak with you. What say you?
Oh, my God. I never thought I'd get it. I've tried so many times, Elder.
Okay. The floor is yours.
So as far as tonight's topic, I didn't actually catch the whole show. I just got off work not too long ago.
Okay.
But when you were speaking about the fact how they have all these black people leading all these cities that are,
yeah,
like, for example, New York, Chicago, and those cities are like getting ready to crumble, and that black people are going to be left holding the bag. You know, it was under the watch of black people that these things failed, even though most of the black people coming in power is a pretty recent thing. But at the end, we're going to be the ones holding the bag. And so I was born in Haiti.
Okay.
And I had noticed the fact that Biden's press secretary, Jean-Pierre, and when I saw her, you know, on like an international stage representing LGBT, on and on, being of Haitian descent, I thought to myself, you know, Haiti is in for major problems. You know, Haiti has had problems, but now Haiti is in for major problems because they actually have a Haitian in the forefront. And I've noticed that when they get ready to destroy or attack your people, they always have one of your people standing up there with them. It's never just them. They infiltrate and get some of your people on their side, and your people's there attacking you along with them. So you can't say, you know, it's a racial thing, or it's, you know, you can't. It's hard to figure out what's going on because, you know, there you are, your people are attacking you along with them. So it doesn't, you know, it makes everything unclear. So I also wanted to say, Elder, that, you know, everything that you're saying, I've been watching you, your program for a few years now, and I know it's the truth. And I try to speak to various people, not even just black, because this is something that will affect you, whether you're black, white, man, woman, child. These things affect us all. And I can tell you that most people don't want to hear it, or they're so afraid they can't focus on it. It's like I'm at the point where a lot, even some people in my family, think I'm like crazy for trying to bring up some of the issues and the things that you bring up during the broadcast. So I'm signed you and GOCC, and, you know, just be able to hear like-minded people discuss these things, because I find it hard to find people to discuss these matters with in the streets or in everyday life. Nobody's talking about most of these things. So thank you.
It's you, sister. And you listen, Christ said, blessed are your eyes that you see and the ears that you hear.
Amen.
Because don't forget, he says, for the others, they've been blinded. Because why have they been blinded? They've been blinded because why? They don't want to see or hear anyway. Because if they seen or hear, If they heard and believed what you were saying, it would mean they would have to change something they know they're not changing. So they would rather believe that what you're saying doesn't exist or it holds no weight or dismiss you as crazy. But they dismiss all the greats as crazy. When really,
yes.
It's the world. It's the world. Listen, 50%, over 50% of Americans is on some type of psych med, calling everyone else crazy. I need you to think about that. Thank you, sister.
Thank you,
you know?
Elder.
Thank you. Yeah. I need y'all to think about that. The reality is everyone understands something is going on, but they're seeking some level of what? Coping mechanism to have them not deal with its reality. And when we come to them with the reality, we're the ones crazy. I have a Bible. I don't need psych med. I need to understand what's going on. See, usually people need all that stuff when they're confused and on top of that refuse to understand their observable reality. See? So, hey, I take that as a badge of honor. Okay? They call Christ worse. See, but the Bible tells us time and chance happens to all men. They don't realize this. When you open your mouth, sister, or any of you brothers and sisters, to convey the truth to them, it's as if the Most High sent an angel. Their time and their chance. And therefore, when they're standing before the Most High in judgment, no one can claim there was no opportunity. No one is going to be able to say, well, why didn't you tell me this? I would have changed. No. What the Most High does before judgment, no one is able to utter a word. And your whole life and every opportunity that he interacted with you comes into your view, and you're in total silence. You are not allowed. You can't even speak. You couldn't speak if you wanted to, because it's your thoughts that comes before the Most High. And in the day of judgment, he will show you every time an angel interacted or he sent a person to warn you of him. Either to warn you or to hedge you under his son. He's going to show you every opportunity so that no one is without excuse. Time and chance happens to all men. Sisters or brothers, when you go to people, guess what? Don't feel anything otherwise when you are rejected. You're just doing your part to warn them before they stand before the Most High silent. Just remember that. 972 area code. And I'm going to tell you, there's many who got caught up in the, for the last couple of years when it all happened, who didn't listen and thought you were crazy. But then on the other side, in total silence, they had to deal with, you should have listened. I sent my servants before you, and you listened to them. All right. Thank you, Girlene. It was great speaking with you. Alphonse has a question.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thanks for asking. The floor is yours.
Yes, real brief. My question is, I need to brush up on my end time prophecy readings. With the situation happening in Israel, I do know that they are not the true Israelites that are spoken of in the Bible.
Let me make it clear, right? And I have to say this for the sake of this channel, right? The reality is I don't like to talk about what they is, because we're living in a world that if someone belongs to another religion, whatever the case is, they can claim to be anything they want. I rather talk about the end day prophecy without speaking like that about what they are or what they aren't. Okay?
So my question is, what's going on right now, where in the Bible can I read about that to brush up on the end time prophecies? What's happening
right now? Okay, no problem. That is a great question, and I'm glad you asked that question, right? Let me get the – I have it written down here, right? Hold on. Make sure I'm not playing it in the background, okay?
All right.
All right. Let me pull it up. When you go to Amos 2, right? It says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and four, I will not turn away the punishments thereof. Moab and Ammon were the original Palestinians. Right?
Yeah.
Are the Palestinians over there today? Because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth. And Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with sound of a trumpet. I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. So if you want to know why the war is going on right there, Esau is over there paying them back for them burning the bones of this king when they were told not to. So Esau had paid back for his father. So he's over there wrecking shop based on what they did to what the Palestinians years ago in ancient times did to their king. And the Most High said, this is their payback, because on top of that, they aligned with Moab to come against us. Payback. No one gets away. You got it?
Gotcha.
Okay. So some people get confused because, you know, it ain't their fault. Even when I was in UPK and others, we were teaching that Moab and Ammon were Chinese and Japanese. We were taught that by our teachers. That was erroneous. Okay. They were saying that there was incest, and through the incest of Lot with his daughters, they came down with Down syndrome and got chinky eyes, had eyes like that after they had sex with their father. Hey, this is what was said. I was taught this when I was a young man, but it's nonsense, okay? It doesn't make any sense, all right? Moab and Ammon never left the Middle East to go into Asia. They boarded Israel. And when our people fell in 70 AD, Moab and Ammonites went into the land, and it became Palestine. These are the people that Esau, the Roman Empire, and others, which is the Western world, are battling against right now, and our God is allowing this prophecy to unfold. They're just clearing the deck. Christ's going to finish it, but he has Esau there clearing the deck. Okay? In a nutshell. Okay, for Christians, this have nothing to do with no prophetic war. We're God's people here suffering in America by the hands of the Edomite powers, who are the modern day Europeans. Okay, you don't have to look around the earth to find out where the Israelites or the lost tribes are suffering. Okay, we're suffering right in the ghettos. Okay, so I want to talk about our conflict as the children of Israel. That's what I want to focus on. And the deliverance of our people. Right? Now, others can feel whatever they would like to feel. That's their prerogative. It's a free world. But let's get the theology correct. If we're talking about Israel coming back to the Father under a Messiah, it's Christ delivering us to one day assume the promises of Abraham, and there will be no settling for our people in Israel until Christ returns. That's Bible prophecy. Okay? 346 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
I'm doing good, Elder. Well, I wanted to point out how you point out those foreign security guards, but now the military is letting in more immigrants into the military because there's actually less Americans joining the military at the moment. So it's another way for the immigrants to get into America by joining the military, and then they get citizenship faster than a regular immigrant as well. But a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, that's a great point. You have to think about under a Red Dawn situation, what better way to have a foreign army destabilize a country than to join the army of the country it's against? I mean, that's deep in of itself. And again, we just went through something where the deck was cleared. How many people no longer exist after the who was once military? So, hey, room is being made, and I'm sure they're willing to come over here and have a, even though it's a short span, to have a short span, a chance at a better quality of life compared to where they were raised. Even though it's only a short term in which they'll have it, some people will be willing, after living in substandard squalors and all these others, they're willing to come here to get a piece of the pie, even if it's 4 or 5 years, to get a little taste of what they could only imagine from their homes while watching on TV and all these others. So here we go. They're going to join the military, fast-track voting, and then the next thing you know, the Democrats are going to care less on whether or not black people, you know, vote for them, especially if they have a constituency already in place to replace them. And then you're going to be like, well, that's how the cookie crumbles. Okay, you trusted us, and this is what you get for trusting us. You should have looked at some of the treaties we made with the North American Indians. How we told them we just needed a little place to, you know, a little place to put our wagons and make soup, okay, in a little corner over here in the land. This land is your land. This land is my land. They told the Indians they just needed a little spot just to be able to pray and eat, you know, and eat soup. And guess what? They got the whole country. And placed Gadite, the children of Gad, put them on reservations. So if anything, our people don't even realize the Democrats were the party of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, because it's going to be the foreigners kicking our doors in.
And I'm going to say this. Let's deal with, just from a political standpoint, right? Let's throw everything out real quick. Let's go about politics real quick. Automatically, if your mind shuts off when you hear logic, automatically when someone states what's going on with the Democrats, right, our people are programmed to deflect with, well, what about the Republicans? They ain't even better. Automatically, without even hearing the conversation, they're on to, what about the Republicans? Well, let's just talk about this for a second. Here it is. I'm in my 50s now. I was raised in North Philadelphia, right? Throughout all of the time, all of the years that I was raised, Philadelphia was predominantly mayor, city council, governor, and everything else ran by strictly Democrats. So they can't tell me what about the Republicans when the Republicans had no hand in what's going on in our community right now, what led to the degradation. What I have to look at is a party who had the power the whole time, and I have to accept this was their plan the whole time. There's no resistance because in city council, all of that, it's been Democrats. So we need to get out of this stuff and thinking of passing the buck. We have to get out of this stuff where we automatically reflection, as if it doesn't. I'm going to reflect it off as if it, the reality doesn't matter. We have to get out of this. Because we have to realize it's not about Republicans. It's about the person, the immediate party that's doing damage. And the example I give, here's the example. Listen to me clearly. Okay? Listen to this clearly. There's a Democrat in my home. A Democrat in my home with a knife. I mean, give an example. A crazy person with a D on his chest is in my house with a knife, stabbing everybody he can find in the house, or threatening to stab everyone in the house. There's a guy in the basement, okay? He has an R on his chest, but he wants to get to us, but there's no need to do anything because he's locked in the basement with no power. Now, I know that that guy in the basement with an R on his chest, I might have to contend with. But I got to first deal with the guy with a D on his chest, loose in my house, seeking to stab everyone first. I have to deal with the immediate danger first. And that's a concept our people have never understood. You allow the political pundit, you allow these people on TV to play hot potato while votes destroy you, but the mainstay is to connect us with degradation that comes from liberalism. The free to have sex with whatever you want and deal with whoever you want. Everything against God they placed in one party conveniently connected to us. So I'm not saying accept either party. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if someone is in my house causing chaos, I'm dealing with the immediate threat first. And that's a concept our people have never accepted. That the enemy was there in our house the whole time. Thank you, my brother.
You're welcome.
Great point. Veronica has a comment.
Shalom, Elder Rukah. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Elder Rukah, I go to sleep with you and Elder Lawyer. I listen to y'all all night long. I don't care. Morning, noon, and night. I just want to say this, Elder Rukah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
for
of the truth that I'm getting out of the car each and every day and applying it with the scriptures, all of it goes hand in hand. I appreciate your labor. All of you elders, the labor of love to our people. But I wanted to say this out of the car. I witnessed today real time tonight of discussion. The replacements are here. Where I live at right now, I saw at least nine people.
Where do you live? Where do you live?
I'm in Baltimore.
Okay, go on. What you see there?
I saw today was nine people. I live in a gated community. Now listen to this, Elder Carr, gated community. Red flag. They were going around taking pictures of where we live, right? And
it's called where I was growing up, casing the joint.
Yes,
they went through casing the joint. And when you say they, you mean they looked like they were foreigners?
Yes, they're here.
Mm. And
of course.
Were they from South America? Were they from Asia? Where?
They're from all the nations.
Mm.
Including our big brother. Our big brother had at least five or six different people taking pictures. And
you say our big
told,
brother, you talking about from Africa or?
You know who our big brother is, Elder Rukah.
You talking about our brother Esau?
Yes, sir.
He was leading the pack, huh?
He was leading the pack.
Divvying up, and let me tell you, as long as we keep fighting against each other, you have to realize this is orchestrated. They're going to sit back in an organized, with an organized watch, saying, okay, now that we have totally have them decimate and destroy each other here, is what we're going to give your people over here, right? We're going to give you this over here. And he's only going to do that with them until he double-crossed them also. But I digress. Well, brother, sister, well, you stay prayed up and stay connected. As long as you can see, you know what I mean? When you're persecuted in one city, flee into the next. And if you're in Philly, you know, Philadelphia, or we got D.C., we got many places over there. So wherever it happens, as long as you're connected with the body, sister, you'll be okay. All right?
Got a question, Elder McCall. I need to get back in that water.
What you mean get back into the water?
Well, I was in the water years ago with the church, the ones that are closed and things like that. But I
some
need
of
to
the
get
Christian
back.
Church?
Yes. I got to get back
Well, sister, well, you got to get into the water in the name of the Most High in Christ for real. Okay, in the Most High's name. So I'll tell you what, send me an email. Send it to gatheringas1@airwall.com. And we'll set up another baptism. We'll set up something for you, okay?
Yes, sir. The water.
Are you in the bar? All right.
All right.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, let me make it clear. Oh, yeah, I know Mayor Rizzo. I mean, there's no one. I grew up early when I came from Louisiana into Philadelphia, everyone knew about the evil of Mayor Rizzo. So, yeah, Mayor Rizzo was a straight Republican. So I'm not saying that there weren't a Republican administration. What I'm saying is the majority of the time I was in Philadelphia, which is 99.9% of the time outside of that one administration, right? I would say 90%, be it city council and everything else, was predominantly Democrat, and it's the same for every major, major city in the United States. Oh, I'm not saying Republicans didn't exist. I remember Rizzo was from the gates of hell. I heard my father talk about you got to stand clear of Rizzo. I remember that. That's a whole other story in itself that I may share one of these days. But yeah, Rizzo was something else. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the immediate threat to us, if you look at a long span of time, it was the Democrats for a long, long span of time that had the power to be for, to make us our neighborhoods better, or for the worse. They had the power the whole time. The majority of the time, I was growing up in Philadelphia, and here it is. I'm in my 50s now. Okay, so the whole deal is, let me tell you, and it's a shame because I can go to North Philly right now, and the block, Lehigh Avenue, all of that, it looked exactly like it did when I was 5, 6 years old. Same buildings, all of that near Sydney Am Street, everything is the same. Nothing has changed. The only time they'll change something is when they're moving us out of the city. I remember there was this crack in the middle of the street on Diamond Street, and I felt a big accomplishment jumping over this sidewalk because it was big and wide. And I'm 4 or 5 years old using this as a benchmark to see how far I can jump. You know that same crack in right now on 15th and Diamond is still there. The same way, the same as it was. They have done nothing. It's like they said, you know what? We're going to put these people We're going to put these people in what? In a echo chamber. We're going to stop time for these people and just have it where they just exist until they die out with no help. Folks, even the music hasn't changed. Let me tell you, I love myself some old R&B, but you go into North Philadelphia and they still playing Mary J. Blige and R. Kelly. I've been overseas. There's only one song you can hear from R. Kelly, and that's I Believe I Can Fly. And if you say Mary J., Mary who? And I love that music. But when it comes to music that talks about love, romance, missing somebody, you go overseas, all the music we used to do here is number one on the charts with people from England and other people doing our music, top pop acts, making game-changing music overseas that we have never heard over here. It's like we're in a time warp. Okay, I mean, you know, I drove through before Tabernacles one time, and it's a cat that was playing Run DMC. His brother still had a Kango on. It's like a time war. It's like a time trap. And I'm like, please don't, please. I hope I don't look in his car and see a cassette deck up in there. So they put us in a time warp there. To say, well, listen, we're just going to let y'all just operate amongst each other until you die off. That's why people have to wake up. It's like, listen, we have to come together. And I'm going to tell you, it would be deep if our people came together and say, listen, enough is enough. We're not participating in nothing. Y'all not getting nothing over here. You're not getting our schools. Y'all not getting anything. It all stops now. And you're going to give us reparations for building this country. But guess what? One thing we can't do, we can't get on one accord like we once did under men like Martin Luther King. We're too divided, and they know it. You think they wanted to give to give us contracts and all these others? Let me tell you, we boycotted, and we say, you know what? We shutting the whole country down. We were the workforce, the service force, before they let South Americans and Italians and all that over. We were the workforce for the United States. And when we didn't work, the whole thing shut down. That's how solid we were. And on top of that, we stayed on cold. Why? Because we had places to go for what? For political organizing. Churches weren't just a place we go to pray to God. It was for community organizing and to make sure that we got what we received as a people what was owed politically. Okay? And then crack dropped. And that was it on that. Except you talking about some people started scavenging, losing morality. But when the crack thing dropped and the cocaine, I mean, listen, I mean, even people in my family, everybody wanted to be a drug dealer now. And I'm like, man, I'm like, this thing is about to tank. Everybody wanted to be a drug dealer. We had people in the city who wouldn't be able to, in our community, who couldn't point out Italy on a map with Scarface behind him, the Godfather behind him. An Italian dude playing a Cuban. And you got our people coming up with all these different Italian names. Yeah, I'm Frank Nitti. I'm like, that's a whole nother conversation. how programming affects our people more so than any other people. Why? Because we don't have much. That's right. Not having much, we as a people must vicariously live through those we admire. So we're more susceptible to the programming than any other people. But that's a whole other conversation. James has a question.
Yes.
Yes, James.
I'm calling from Forest City, Arkansas, and I was told that the letter X in Hebrew means 400. And the reason why I asked that, because we had a solar eclipse in August of 2017, and I was in Carrollton, Texas at the time, and we're supposed to have another one next year, the second half.
Okay, so what? So how is that any importance to us, this solar eclipse? What significance does that have for us, for you in particular?
It's supposed to make a X over the whole country, both of the halves of the, when they come together, when the second eclipse occurs next year, it's supposed to form an X over the...
No, I'm with you, but what I'm saying is, suppose everything happens the way you're saying it. What significance does that have for what we're talking about tonight? How does that affect our lives on a regular basis? How do we stop allowing these people to excel and destroy us, coming against God's people? Right? So how does this solar eclipse connect with what we're talking about here prophetically, the destruction of God's people? How does that connect for you?
400-year prophecy in Deuteronomy, and I'm thinking maybe that was, maybe the next solar eclipse is supposed to be the end of it, mark the end of the 400-year prophecy.
Okay. Okay, you got a Bible with you?
Yeah.
Okay, grab your Bible.
Okay.
1 second. All right.
Go ahead. I had another question.
Oh, no. Genesis. Let's stay here first.
Okay. Now in Genesis.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Let me know you're there.
I'm still here.
All right. Let's go to Genesis. Elder Lawyer, give me the scripture that goes into the Amalekites. I mean,
yeah, Genesis 15, jump down to maybe about 13.
Yeah. Let's get, the Amorites is what I want. Yeah. The Amorites. You ready, my brother?
Just a second. I'm almost there. Chapter 15.
Okay. I need
13.
You to go to 15. Go to 15.
Yeah.
And I need you to go to 13.
Okay. I got an English version, English Standard Version.
Okay, you can read it.
Okay. Then Jehovah told Adam, your descendants will be oppressed as slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. But I will...
Okay. Okay, I think that's the problem you have right there. Right?
Uh-huh.
That's the first problem you have. All right. I need you to, you, okay. Let me show you something.
Okay.
I need you to go to Matthew 18:11. Hold on. Where it says, the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Right?
Just a second. I got to.
I need you to go to Matthew 18:11 in your Bible.
18:11.
Yeah, Matthew 18:11. Read it for me.
Okay, just a second. And I, the Messiah, came to save the lost. If a man has 100, that's going into 12. And I, the Messiah, came to save the lost.
Say that again.
And I, the Messiah, came to save the lost.
What Bible are you reading?
The English version, the Living Bible,
okay.
Paraphrasing.
Okay. When you get a chance, right, get yourself a King James Version Bible, okay? All right?
Okay.
So I'm going to read this for you because you'll never get the right interpretation using these new knockoffs. Those are not Bibles at all. They were placed here to deceive us. King James was a black man. You knew that?
Yeah. And Jesus also.
Okay.
And
okay, that's good.
Moses.
That's good. All right. So now I'm going to read it for you.
Okay.
Genesis 15 from the King James Version Bible. And he said, Abram, know assuredly that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, you believe this has something to do with us being in Egypt for 400 years?
No.
And there's a prophecy of America, us being in America for 400 years? I'm asking, is that a yes or a no?
I think this was the second Egypt that I've read about.
No, let's talk about this here. Focus. The 400 years begins in Genesis 15 and 13, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So you think that this is us being in Egypt, the first slavery, for 400 years. You believe that, right?
No.
Okay. So where did this happen where he says, know for surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
We're on that land now.
We're on that land now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in the New Testament?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to prove what you're saying. I'm glad you're doing this because other people may think along the lines you're thinking. All right? So I'm gonna help you here because the Most High teaches us through the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it teaches us through the Bible, my brother.
I know that our people were scattered,
no,
right?
No, no, I need you to focus. Elder Lloyd, okay. Let's get that out of the New Testament real quick. Which shows from Abraham to the giving of the law.
Yeah, you want to go to Galatians 3. I want to say about maybe 16.
Exactly. Are you with me, my brother?
Yeah.
All right. Now, you thought that 400 years in Genesis there was talking about America, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, Galatians 3, and I'm going to read this. Are you ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Brethren, I speak unto you, the 15th verse. After the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. You got it? He saith not unto seeds as many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, so this is saying the promise that came through Abraham, right? That was a covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after he showed Abraham the promise, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promised, but God gave it to Abraham by promise, right? So what must you do? You must add the 430 years from the time Abram received the promise up until the time Moses received the law. Do you see that?
I understand what you're saying, but I'm
Don't understand. Listen. When you say you understand what I'm saying, that's reflecting and that's denying what I just read. Let me ask you the question again. According to the precept, the 430 years from the time of promise, which is Genesis 15, when the Most High gave Abram the promise, up until the time Moses received the law, was the 430 years. That's the fulfillment.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, I see it.
Okay, now, when you look at that time period, from the time Abraham received the promise, and Moses received the law, that's 430 years, which makes it where it would be an impossibility for anyone mathematically to claim that the Israelites were afflicted in Egypt 400 years. There's no history on that. We were in Egypt for a maximum of 210 to 215 years when you look at the chronology of time. So there is Listen, brother. Let's talk about the first Egypt first. Okay? People are getting this 400-year prophecy, claiming that it's a reoccurring prophecy that parallels Israel being in Egypt 400 years and that we would need to go through another 400 years in Babylon before freedom, when the 400 years never happened in Egypt. It was 215 years. The promise of Abraham led all the way up to 430 years with Moses receiving the law. So we were afflicted many years before our people were serving in Egypt. Okay, Abraham had to hide himself, had to hide himself to protect himself from the Egyptians who wanted his life until they found out that what? Sarah was his wife. Then Isaac was getting afflicted. Okay, Joseph was afflicted when he was thrown into their prison. So that affliction happened from the time we received the promise up until the time we received the law. There is no 400-year period of us being in a new Egypt according to prophecy. That doesn't exist. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you, brother, first of all, if you're going to learn again, if you're going to consume truth, you must learn again, which be the first oracles and principles of God. You don't know, and that's okay. You don't even have a Bible, and that's okay. I'm here to direct you. Get rid of that Bible and get a King James Version Bible. The Bible says in Jeremiah, no. See, you're thinking before, you can't talk and listen to. I'll give you an opportunity, but if that means you're waiting to bring something forth, brother, you're wrong. And the only way you're going to see you wrong is to clear your head and listen. Jeremiah 10 says, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. You're not supposed to try to link prophecy on what you're seeing in the sky. That's subjective. Anyone can do that. It leads to nowhere. It's a dead end. You must learn the Bible. And the solar eclipse have nothing to do with 400 years. Scrap it all. Tear it up. Throw it in the burner. Everything you're talking about doesn't exist.
Deuteronomy now, chapter 28.
Okay, now listen. If I go to Deuteronomy 28, is that going to tell me that we're going to be in Egypt, America, for 400 years? That's a yes or no.
We'll be. I have to go back and read that.
Okay, I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 28. Now, if it doesn't say or even preface what you're saying, I'm going to need you to admit I'm wrong and I need to be taught. Okay? Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, and let's go down to 68, because I know where you're going. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spoke unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bond men and bond women, and no man shall buy you. And?
I'm listening.
No, you're saying you told me to go here because this is going to confirm your 400 years.
That's not the entire chapter, 28.
Okay, where would you like me to read in 28? Name it.
About the curses that will be inflicted upon us.
That's from the 15th verse all the way down. Show me the time span for any of this, a 400 years.
From the 1600s to 20. You know.
No, listen, well, brother. I ask you. I'm going to ask you again, and then I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to put you on hold if you're answering anything outside of what I'm asking you. Where is it in this scripture where this is telling you that it's 400 years? In chapter 28.
Sir, it's nice talking with you. I got to get over work in the morning. I'm tired. I was just trying to, you know, help bring some things to light, and you know, and I was one
757 area code. Jay has a question. Shalom.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Elder?
I'm blessed by the blessed. How are you? Blessed by the best. His name is the highest. And brothers and sisters, this is what I'm saying. See, I gave the brother an opportunity, right? And what happens is, the Bible says, beware lest anyone spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And that's where pride comes in. Where can you guide me wrong? Brother, you're not helping us. You're further confusing people. And see, in America, you can say whatever you want. This is how we got these conscious hustlers out here jail talking, confusing our people. So that's deep. That used to be deep in college when people were sitting around looking at a wall with a reefer in their ear. But we're beyond that time where everyone has something to build on based on what comes to their mind and hope to be accepted as deep knowledge. No. The Bible tells you no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. We're too late in the game to be hearing you just want to be deep about some eclipse that means nothing, that's nowhere in the Bible. This is why people don't respect brothers who are teaching the word anymore. I mean, a great broadcaster, somebody come with something sideways 400 years that doesn't exist. And then when I'm showing them, he want to go to Deuteronomy 28, I take him to Deuteronomy 28, and it's not saying what he's bringing forth. And he's too proud to say, you know what? I need to stop looking up in the sky and get me a book that I can actually read and get teachers to give me the understanding. Keep on learning, brother. I'm here. I'm sorry. Jay has a question, right?
Yes, sir. I'm going to try to get back on topic.
I'm sorry
about
that.
You had a tap. Hey, ain't no issue, bro. You was clearing the air, man. You was putting it down. But some people just got a hard time admitting, you know what I'm saying, when what they're saying ain't there. You know what I'm saying? So, but I had a question, right? It was like, I heard what you were saying, and you always breaking it down good, you know, for the folk like myself. And it's like our replacements are here, right? And they're here to kind of take over and do whatever they want to do. With this economy going the way it's going, I mean, they can pretty much have it. But what I'm asking is, because you've been all over the globe, right? And what do you think about, you know, other areas of the earth? You know what I mean? So it's like get your passport and just travel, and just because the dollar goes further in other places, right? So it's like we work hard here, save all our money, and by the time we get the 401k age, we'll blast it back to poverty because our money has been depreciated, and, you know, we're back in the same situation. So it's just like, you know, over there in Africa, for instance, you got all of these different, you know, countries saying, you know, the apartheid, come back. You know, we'll let you come back for free. You know what I mean? And it's
Brother, it's not that. No, see, we have to stop. We have to stop accepting these African con games.
Okay.
There is no right of return. The reality is, you can't go over there broke and get a come up saying that you want citizenship in Africa. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Why do you think Africa is trying to get citizenship in America?
Because for the most part, you got a lot of people here that got money, right?
I don't think you understand. That's a con game. There was never a right to return like they're claiming. What they were talking about is if you're coming with a bag, if you're coming with finances that can add to their country, then they're willing to give you citizenship. Brother, that's no different than any country. If you go to Cyprus, if you go to any country, they tell you that you have to have a certain amount of money in the bank to get citizenship. And they made people believe that was something new, that they were doling out to Americans. They've always said that you have to have a certain amount because they want your money in their economy. But they're not saying, come over here, I'm sorry for selling you off through politics. Right. And now through this, here's 10 acres for your family. Here's 10 acres and here's 10 acres and 50,000 Americans to start off with.
Right. But if you've been in...
Now, but listen to what I'm telling you, though. I'm going to let you go. It's all a con game. They're telling us the right to return and all this other stuff, and the people that's telling you is telling you to get on a plane while they're trying to sneak or get over here and get citizenship for themselves, which is okay. But I'm saying our people in America have been in this echo chamber to believe the African con game. So the whole government is trying to con Americans, and you still don't realize it. What I'm saying is, if you're going to go to Africa, that's good. It's okay. But don't believe there's some right of return with people trying to embrace you and all this other stuff. Brother, when you go, you must have a plan, you must have a team, and you must have protection.
Okay.
And you're on your own.
Fair enough, man.
We have churches in Ghana. We have churches in Zimbabwe. We're going to open up other areas in Africa. But the reality of the matter is, we can't go. This is what they're doing, brother. You have to look at when they offered the right of return. They offered the right of return in Ghana. At the same time, our people were asking for reparations in America.
Yeah,
right?
If
you go to Africa and get citizenship and live there, then you would relieve America of the debt they were asking for. So I'm about traveling to other countries and all this. We got churches over there. When it's time to leave, we're going to leave. But don't leave, on the whims of a con game that will get you over there thinking that they're going to treat you different because you're from America. They're going to try to figure out what you have. And I'm talking about the people over there in general. There's a lot of people who can see you as a mark coming off the plane.
Right. Absolutely.
What I'm saying is, make sure you have a plan.
Yeah, I'm with you on the team part, but I'm just talking about the currency difference. Like for Ghana, for instance, like the American dollar, like you do have to have a bag. I'm not saying you got to go over there and you're on a welfare case here. If you can't make it in America, you might as well just, sit down where you are. But for those of the people that do have substance and they're killing the middle class is what I'm saying. And when you look even like in the Philippines or even like down in Brazil, when you look at the dollar, when you look at the U.S. currency, your dollar goes further. So if you was in retirement age and you're getting like an allotted check or something like that, if you take that money and go somewhere else, you would be in a much better position.
Listen. I'm 100% in agreement with that. I've been all around the world. The whole thing is, I agree. If you got the opportunity and the finances to do so, man, that's a come up getting a dual citizenship.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
If you have the means to do so, absolutely. A dual citizenship is excellent. But make sure it's a dual citizenship. This is not a viable option for the everyday person who really don't have anything. And that's why I speak generally to the public, understanding the demographics of listeners, right? And usually when you hear something about the right of return, that's good for you if you actually have money to be able to make right someplace else. But somebody else is going to start looking that up. And that's for they're being dragged through a hut somewhere.
Get the wrong idea, the last seven bucks
they have gone. So what I'm saying is you got people looking up, right to turn, I'm back. And you're getting dealt with. So that's what I'm talking about. We have to be careful what we put out there for people because they think they're going to go over there and there's a bag waiting for them in Ghana.
Right. Yeah, no, not no trick bag like that. No. It was one more thing, though, because my cousin, I'm in the Virginia area, and my cousin, he has land, out in the country. And, he always calling me with this stuff where it's just like, oh, did you see what they were talking about? They was going to just try to take people land, and I look it up, and it's like the CEO of J.P. Morgan basically saying, oh, yeah, they're talking to the government to seize people land on the guise of just environment. Like the environment or something like that. I don't know, man. But these people are at war, man. We're at war, man. Physically, mentally, spiritually. They messing with us, man. They're messing with that vibration out here.
Well, they've always. But at least a person like yourself, whose eyes are open and understand how to navigate, it'd be a while before what they're trying to do could affect someone who's sick.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? The best case scenario would be if we were all on one accord and came together and said stop all together and united for our interests. But nah.
Right.
It'd be another 6,000 in creation and a whole new heaven and earth before we can actually come together like that. So at the end of the day, brother, the fact that you can see and you're operating and navigating correctly accordingly is a benefit. That's the benefit of having the tool. We hope that everyone else can understand, but all right. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot for everything y'all doing over there, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right. Now, unfortunately, I have to go because I have to get up early in the morning. But I see someone been waiting for a while. Let's see. Duran have been waiting for a while, so I'll bring you in. And unfortunately, this will be on my last call for tonight. All right.
How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing well, yourself, Duran.
Man, I'm blessed. Shalom. I enjoy. I just want to encourage. I'm gonna let you go. And you got to get your rest. Thank you for everything y'all do. You're telling so much truth. I'm a truck driver. I've been on almost all every 48 states, and everywhere you go, you can tell where we live at and how our communities are being neglected and how our people are up on the street, serious power of sorcery with the pharmaceutical realm, even our food and water, the different stores that they put in our community, down to the food and even fentanyl that's hitting our community. It used to be crack and cocaine, all that. My cousin died from fentanyl.
Starting at that.
It's hitting the streets real bad. But I cry often. Me and my mom, we have a prayer line. We pray every morning. And I just thought about that scripture when you were talking. I'm going to let you go. If my people that are called by my name should humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and hear our land. Our people don't have no other hope but to turn to the Heavenly Father. That's the only hope we have.
You right on.
We
deal right
with a spiritual welfare. We don't have an army big enough to fight the enemy. And our enemy is Satan himself. Is him and his children. He has children,
yeah,
just like the Heavenly Father has children.
And the synagogue of Satan, Revelations 2:9-3:9. He got some people operating in the earth. Operating
yes.
under the guise of a victim, but I digress from that. Well, thank you,
yes,
my brother.
Sir.
The scripture you brought out was poignant, and it's a great place to end the broadcast, right? Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. You have a blessed night. Shalom to all you guys. Y'all have a blessing. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, brother. And that ends our broadcast for today, and I like to say this.